Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Happy Earth Day. It's a beautiful Sunday morning out there on North Michigan Avenue. There's a new entry in the race for governor. Downstate State Senator Sam McCann, a Republican who is running under the Conservative Party banner. In a video announcement, McCann picks up where Jeannie Ives, the Wheaton state representative, left off after her narrow loss to Bruce Rauner in last month's Republican primary.
They have failed us. Rauner and Chicago Democrats have led our state down the wrong path. Higher taxes, backward morals, and disregard for the rule of law is the Illinois they've created. It's time for a real transformation for the state of Illinois. I'm Sam McCann, and I'm running for governor to put Illinois on a path of prosperity and promise. As conservatives, we know and believe that you can't spend money you don't have, and that opportunity should exist for everyone, not just a chosen few. I'm running to restore what real, hardworking Illinoisans value the most: liberty, family values, and law and order.
That is Republican State Senator Sam McCann, who is now announced as the Conservative Party candidate for governor. Joining me to discuss this and other things going on in Springfield is my good friend Brian Mackey, Springfield government and political correspondent for NPR Illinois and WUIS-FM in Springfield. Brian, good morning.
Good to talk to you, Rick. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for joining me this morning. This probably isn't exactly what Republican Governor Bruce Rauner needed right now.
No, I think it's so telling, as you pointed out, that McCann announced under the Conservative Party label, not just an independent bid, as a lot of us had been thinking about and speculating about for quite a while now, because, as you said, he picked up right where Ives left off. And he is certainly, his message points are that, you know, the governor failed conservatives, as Representative Ives had said during her primary campaign. But, you know, whether that's what's really behind McCann's campaign, that is another issue.
Well, and certainly, you know, Rauner and McCann had their differences, particularly on labor issues. McCann, whose district, I guess, roughly Macoupin County, is that fair to say, south of Springfield?
Yeah, basically kind of a rural area southeast of Springfield, or southwest of Springfield, I would say.
But still has a population of some state workers and union workers, and McCann does have union allies.
Yes, he does, and he voted against the governor on some of his earliest attempts to, There were some bills that were aiming to give AFSCME, the big state employee labor union, an upper hand in negotiations with Governor Rauner. And he voted against the way the governor wanted him to, and the governor helped fund and actively campaigned with a guy in a primary challenge against McCann last time around. There were ethics investigation, or campaign finance investigations of McCann that came about around that time, and it didn't work. Ultimately, McCann kept his seat, but he has been, you know, all too willing to sort of poke at the governor, appear as the lone Republican at news conferences with Democrats, then they can say it's bipartisan legislation now. And so this is not totally surprising. It's not just that, you know, he disagrees with the governor. He's actually getting financial support from one of the big labor unions. Earlier in the week, the Operating Engineers Local 150 gave him $50,000 to help launch his campaign.
And there's no doubt that the operating engineers are politically active, that, there's a stake here, not necessarily that they're necessarily for McCann to win, but certainly to keep poking at Rauner, keep the festering wound from the primary from healing.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, I mean, we know that the Local 150 wants Pritzker to win. I think they've endorsed him.
They endorsed him, less than a month after he got in the race.
Right. So they have been early on the Pritzker bandwagon. But this is a way, and we've seen this before, right? There was this attempt among some unions to block Rauner from winning the primary back in 2014, and that's why You actually saw a Democratic turnout dip and Republican turnout spike in the 2014 primary because some significant number of Democrats in Illinois crossed over to take Republican ballots to try and keep Rauner from even winning the primary 4 years ago. So this is not entirely new or unexpected, but it certainly makes the race interesting.
And McCann had said he was not seeking re-election. So it was a question of just, you know, what is he going to do? And this has been long talked about a potential independent bid at that time. Now we know it's under a party label. But still...
And an interesting party label, right?
Because,
I mean, he could have gone for the Libertarian, but, I mean, by going for... conservative, it really kind of helps hammer home the point that some of the governor's critics were making, that, you know, they don't think he has been with conservatives on issues like abortion, on issues like immigration, and, you know, that the bill that he signed last year that was intended to foster trust between immigrant communities and law enforcement, that some conservatives derided it as a sanctuary bill. You know, the governor, as Representative Ives said, he betrayed his base during the primary. And remember, he barely won the primary. I mean,
less than 3 percentage points.
Yeah. So.
And you know, in that announcement video by McCann, you know, you had him talking repeatedly about, you know, sanctity of life. You had him talk about the legislation that conservatives have derided as sanctuary state legislation, which really what it does is it prohibits law enforcement from holding someone solely on the basis of their documented status, and doesn't prohibit law enforcement from talking to ICE or anything like that. But when you're explaining, sometimes you're playing defense, and that's where the governor has found himself.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and it's interesting, the governor's campaign was really quick with a response as soon as McCann announced. Certainly, I think they had been preparing for this possibility, and they listed some of Senator McCann's liabilities, you might say. You know, he's had some financial challenges in the past, you know, in terms of tax liens and a home that was foreclosed, and, you know, there were questions about whether he had, you know, claimed to have served in the Marine Corps when, in fact, he had injured himself before he even got to basic training. And so, you know, the governor was quick to point that out. I'm sure if McCann actually gains any traction, we'll be hearing more about those things. You know, one of my colleagues talked to McCann, though, and he said, you know, look, I have had some financial challenges. Those are the things that make me able to understand what everyday Illinoisans are going through, unlike the billionaire and hundred millionaire who are running on the major party ticket.
Now, it's one thing to announce for governor. It's another thing to get on the ballot. And he needs 25,000 valid signatures as a minimum. Frankly, you normally file twice as many just to face to put off a ballot challenge or withstand a ballot challenge. But that's a significant number.
That's a huge number, and I mean, Illinois, right, we're a duopoly. The Democrats and Republicans, one thing they agree on is that it should not be easy for people who are not Democrats or Republicans to run for office in
they
Illinois.
They make that point very well known in the signature requirements.
They do, and I think that you have to, I don't think it can be anyone who voted in the primaries either. So, right, because you can't, like, you have to kind of, once you sort of say, I'm going to take a Republican ballot or a Democratic ballot, you're kind of disqualified. So it's not just finding people who are to sign. It's finding people who are not also, you know, having associated themselves in the primary.
And with that, the fact that he's appealing to those Republicans who felt disaffected by Rauner, a lot of them went out for Jeannie Ives, especially in downstate. That could make it even more daunting.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big signature requirement, so it's a big if at this point. But it would be interesting to think if he actually manages to pull this off.
We're speaking with Brian Mackey, Springfield government and politics correspondent for NPR Illinois and WUIS-FM in Springfield. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue. Joining me on the phone is Brian Mackey, who's with NPR Illinois and WUIS-FM in the State House in Springfield. Brian, you kind of touched on this in the previous segment about the issue of the money with Governor Rauner, J.B. Pritzker, and now Sam McCann, but we just had the financial disclosure reports were filed over what was spent in the last 3 months, so we now know what was basically has been spent in the campaign. And we have Bruce Rauner and Pritzker combined spending over $105 million to win their party nominations. Pritzker spending $68.3 million to win his primary, which breaks out to about a cost of about $119 a vote. You have Rauner spent nearly $37 million, as we said, a win of 2.8 percentage points, and his victory came at a cost of $102.33 per vote. Now, of course, much of Rauner's spending had been really trying to poison the well on the Democratic side by going after Pritzker, but as we got closer to the primary, he changed his focus to focus on Jeannie Ives. But still, when you're looking at over $100 a vote, and you're talking about $105 million, what's to come next?
Yeah, Armageddon, I think. don't turn on your television for the next 7 months.
Or your computer, I mean, yeah, with digital right. ads.
Yeah,
and
yeah, no, it's inescapable, and it's going to, I think, remain inescapable. We are certainly in a strange new world. I think if it felt bad 4 years ago when Governor Rauner outspent then-Governor Pat Quinn 2-1, right, I think it was roughly
right.
$60 million.
60-30, something like that.
Yeah, 60-30, exactly. That's not going to be as lopsided this time around. And, I mean, we've seen J.B. Pritzker advertising on television since the middle of last year. I think there's just going to be no let-up. And it's going to be negative and nasty and pretty unpleasant to experience.
Now, the record in a governor's race was the 2010 California contest that had Jerry Brown defeating Meg Whitman, the former Hewlett-Packard CEO. That was $280 million. I don't know that there's you can buy that much.
I have been skeptical. You know, a lot of people have said, well, now that we have, you know, these two ultra wealthy people running here in Illinois, could we break that record? I have always been skeptical because of, you know, California is such a bigger state.
And multiple big media markets with heavier advertising rates.
San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco. But, I mean, we do have, and I mean, I suppose if you, you know, it's maybe not the best bang for your buck to advertise in the St. Louis market, in the Paducah, Kentucky market, but when you have as much money to burn as these two candidates do, then you do that. I suppose it's possible. That we could break that record, but I still remain to be convinced.
Well, and as our good friend Chris Mooney has said, that when you have this much money, those of us on the outside could say, well, why are you wasting your money on this? But when you have that much money, it's not really waste.
Yeah, no, I mean, why would you leave anything to chance? And I think we see the candidates not leaving anything to chance. You mentioned that Governor Rauner did not really engage with Representative Ives until towards the end of that campaign, and I don't think that was because he didn't want to, you know, he was saving his money to not do that. I think it was a strategy, right? You're the front runner, you're the incumbent, you don't want to even acknowledge, and perhaps until he saw that she was really gaining some traction with Republican potential voters, that's when he decided to turn his attention towards her and start running ads against her, and spent a lot of money to do so towards the end of that campaign. But still, he did not spend nearly as much in the first quarter as J.B. Pritzker. I think it was just, you're looking at this first quarter of campaign finance, so that's from the beginning of 2018 to the end of March. I think Pritzker spent $34 million to the governor's $17.5 million. So just an incredible amount of money. I'm not that old, and I remember when that would have been as much as you might spend in an entire campaign, or more than you would spend in the entire, you know, election cycle.
Well, and then you have, for Ives's part, she spent nearly $4.3 million. She raised $3.8 million from the time she announced her campaign officially in December. She got 48.6% of the GOP primary vote. That translated into $12.55 per vote. But one of the strange things, I thought, was the fact that she paid nearly $400,000 to Jameson Books of Ottawa to print and help distribute the booklet on Rauner, The Governor You Don't Know, that was mailed out to people. I'm not sure how many people actually took the time to read through a mailed booklet.
Yeah, that's interesting, and I guess I was not aware at the time of how widely that had been circulated. I got one. I think most of us in the press probably did. How influential are these books? Although we have seen in the past other people, you know, now launching things that look like newspapers that are thinly disguised campaign finance. So perhaps, as you said, when you're being confronted with these sort of advertisements on not just television, but your social media feeds and everywhere you go, you're trying to do anything you possibly can to differentiate yourself and get people's attention. And if, you know, you open to just about any page in that little booklet, and you would be confronted with, you know, the Ives campaign's main set of accusations against the governor, that he's untrustworthy and not a real conservative, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know how you'd measure how effective that was, but it certainly had a pretty broad reach, it seems.
Well, and you know, now, as I said, we're looking at these two main candidates with all of this money, all of the media that's going to get bought, and you just, as you said, you if you got the money, you go spend it. But at what point does it just kind of overwhelm everybody and people just tune it out?
Yeah, I don't think it's good for democracy, right, in the small d sense, in terms of, you know, people thinking that government and politics is the way we come together to solve our problems, to the extent anyone, other than me still thinks that that's what politics is about here in Illinois, or anywhere else. So it certainly doesn't leave people with a good taste about politics and government, and whoever, if Rauner comes in, he's even, you know, got more negatives going for him than he did, presumably, if he's, you know, after a season of advertising. And if Pritzker wins, then his image is certainly coming in damaged after this, you know, months and months of criticism over his toilets and tapes with Blagojevich and all the other things that are out there that I'm sure we'll be seeing more of in these political ads. And, you know, ultimately what I think political science research will tell us is that as long as both sides have the funding resources, it's pretty much a wash in terms of the advantage. I mean, one side's not going to disarm, but I mean, remember we said that Governor Rauner outspent Governor Quinn 2-1. Well, he didn't win by 2-1. He won by, I think, about 5 percentage points.
Right.
It was a victory. A win's a win, but it wasn't, you know, he didn't run away with it. There is a certain diminishing return, I think, once you start spending all this money.
And is this the nature of politics with the recycling of these critiques and everything? Everything old is new again. Brian Mackey, Springfield government and politics correspondent for NPR Illinois and WUIS-FM, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Good to talk to you, Rick. Have a good Sunday.